So good evening everyone, how are you all today? So thank for Kim to drive me, the monk, here today to share with you the Dhamma talk with the support of Long Pa Swat, came from Bananoon to get there. And for this evening, I would like to rejoice with the organizer and the whole universe to invite me to give a talk on the most important subject of Buddhist teachings, dependent origination. Without this subject, there is no Buddha. So the Buddhism relies on this topic. Without this topic, it becomes Brahmanism, Hinduism, and the other religions of the ancient world that we still practice in order to be happy and then unhappy again. Happy and unhappy again. So this is the most important topic that will make Tibetan monks, Thai monks, Theravada monks, and the Mahayanist monks, Chinese, Korean, Vietnamese, Japanese, to become friends. Last week, on last Wednesday, we organized the Gratitude Day, where we thanked to many international monks, 50 of them, from at least 25 temples, came together, and then we offer a token of our gratitude, appreciation for their support when the King of Thailand passed away last year. And it is a beautiful picture to see the three school of Buddhism, monks and nuns, have a good time together. And I can say that without this topic, Tibetan Buddhism become enemy of Theravada Buddhism. And the Chinese monk will kung fu the Thai monk because we disagree with the other teachings in the scriptures. The heaven and hell in Tibetan not fit in Thai Buddhism. Heaven and hell in Thai Buddhism not coordinate well with Mahayanist Buddhism, because we talk about cultural value. We don't talk about Buddhist teachings. That is a problem. So what make Prince Siddhartha to be the Buddha is this topic. And it happened on that very night of Visakh day under the piper or peepal tree nearby Niranjana River. Nowadays people call peepal or piper tree as Bodhi tree. This is only one short message that transformed Prince Siddhartha to be the enlightened one, to become the master. So this is the heart of his rediscovery, how to find inner peace. Before this, before the Buddha's time, before 2600 BCE, what people in India practice is searching for immortality, to have a very perfect, happy life. And they depict that perfect, happy life, eternal life, should be permanent up there, heaven or paradise. Follow what the Egyptians believed thousands of years before the Buddha was born. That life after death is much better. So Egyptians built the pyramids, dig the valley of the kings, practice heavily on mummification because they would like life after death to be permanent bliss, heaven. Similar to Zoroastrian religions, similar to ancient religions of Iraq, Mesopotamia, even in ancient Chinese belief of the word Xian, correct? Xian, the immortal. So everyone looking for something that never die, but make sure that means happiness never end, to be the aim of the spiritual practice from Stone Age, Bronze Age until Iron Age. So because of someone disagree with this kind of search for everlasting happiness after death, someone disagree with this concept. and plenty of support from technology, health, production of food. That's how 2600 BCE or 2600 years ago, some group of people start to look inward, looking for where, how we can find inner peace or eternal happiness. Why not in the present moment? Why have to look for after death? Because they come up with one thing, that because we are not satisfied. We are not satisfied with the worldly happiness. So we're looking for something. And we fear that after death we can't control anything. So people thinking that this self, I, soul, mind, the spirit, from their experience, we travel from one life to another life and we keep on going to the future. So if this theory is true, then we are in big problems, because we don't know how to put this self, spirit, soul, I into a safe place permanently, so that it will be there permanently and be happy permanently. So there are two problems. First, where is that place? Second, how to get there? So we spend a lot of time, a lot of practice in many different ways, and different cultures, different traditions provide different techniques how to find it, or even depict that place of permanent happiness in different appearance. So a lot of work, a lot of questions, a lot of problems when everyone thinks that we're busy to looking for the perfect place where we can put our consciousness, deposit into the bank, a kind of bank, like in Switzerland, what you call the bank, the World Bank or what, that you can fix there permanently. And no one, no government in any country can touch that money, correct? So we are looking for that spiritual bank, deposit our consciousness forever. Unfortunately, there's no such bank in the world. The Buddha read after the whole generation, that period, tried to do a lot of research without internet. Their research is to put their own mind and heart into practice. So none of them could find that place. Until the time of the Buddha, he said that, I know there is no such place like that. The problem is that we are busy with the wrong concept of permanent I, permanent self, permanent soul. That's why we are in trouble. Because when we have permanent soul, we would like to put in some place. But if we don't have permanent soul, permanent I, permanent me, permanent mind, permanent spirit, permanent consciousness, then it solves a lot of problems. Correct? If you have very good Samsung Galaxy 21, I don't know they produce yet, high-tech smartphone, $1 million each. So it can use a lot. But at the same time, we are in trouble. Don't know where to put it. If you put here and go to buy McDonald's coffee, come back, it may disappear. Someone steal it. So we have problem where and to put this high-tech smartphone in the safe place. That is another problem that comes. So the fundamental problem is that where we can put this consciousness, this I, this mind, this spirit, this soul into a perfect place, since we cannot find any perfect place. That is the problem that facing humanity. Then the Buddha just revoked that instead of looking for the safe place out there, investigate the wrong concept of I, me, my, soul, spirit. That is the famous of the Zen question of who am I? So we stop a lot of heavy busy searching out there completely. That's how people start to feel very relaxed, peaceful, no more fear, very clear in the very present moment of life. So the characteristics of the Buddhist teachings is in this chanting that we did. When you turn to the second page, you can see the middle paragraph, the second paragraph from the top. สวากขาโตภะคะวะตาธัมโมสันทิฏฐิโก to be seen here and now อากาลิโก not delay in time เอหิปัสสิโกโอปาริโก inviting one to come and see leading inward ปัจจตังเวทิตับโบวินยูหิติ to be seen by each wise man for himself or herselfThat is a characteristic of the Buddhist teachings. To be seen here and now in the present moment. To be realized by ourselves. Not because of someone else told us that you are enlightened or you are peaceful. And not to be experienced after death. After we die, we don't know what's going to happen. But now in the very present moment.So the topic is so crucial because it is the heart of inner peace. At the same time, it is the most difficult subject in Buddhist teachings. Because by discussion like this, we never getting to know dependent origination because it can't be comprehended by Dhamma talk. That is a problem. But the Dhamma talk is just aboutTo talk how to make tom yum soup. Okay. The Dhamma talk about dependent origination is how to make tom yum soup. We talking about lemongrass. We talking about lemon lime. We talking about chili. We talking about mushroom. We talking about kaffir lime. We talking about galangal. We talking about soya sauce.If you love tofu, you talk about tofu or whatsoever. So this is how dependent origination talk is all about the ingredients and the timing that what to put first, how high the temperature should be on the stove, and how much cook that you need to be on the stove until the right time. And most important thing is that do not add lemon juice.When the fire is turned on the stove, because if we turn the whole soup to be bitter. Yes, we finished talking about tom yum soup by theory, but in practice, it's so different, correct? Sometimes in the monastery, we have meditation retreat start on Friday evening. The volunteers will come Friday night. So Kim have to look after 50 people who are so hungry, come from their work and start the retreat 7 p.m. So sometimes I have to help her. The monks help go to the kitchen, chopping vegetable, whatever. And how to do tom yum soup, I have no idea. So I ask my teacher, Google, YouTube, how to make tom yum soup. But I can't play computer in front of a stove. So I just guess, oh, first time burning hot. So the real experience of Patisasupata, dependent origination, is the same manner. We can't realize it by discussion. However, discussion is also about how to do it. Later on, we need to experience it because dependent origination is for practice.Not for discussion. That's why it's so difficult for ordinary people to comprehend it. And that means that it's so difficult for people to break free from unhappiness. Because if we can realize dependent origination, that means our unhappiness in life decreases. It is that ratio.The more realization of dependent origination, the more inner peace. At the same time, less headache, less worry, less stress, less anxiety, less depression, less fear. It comes in that level. So whoever can feel peaceful and less stress, less anxiety, you may be surprised that you are practicing deep origination without knowing the name. So this is how it's difficult to comprehend. But once we practice it and you realize it or you read about it, then it will fall into the right place, all because of this and that. So let us begin with what is different origination, the word say by itself. And for those of you who have heard before, this may help us to refresh our memory. As again discussed before, it is the most difficult subject in Buddhist teachings. So it's good to rehearse, to hear it again and again and again. So dependent origination, it says that something happens because it depends on something else. That's why it becomes dependent origination. So if we ask the serious question that what is dependent origination, so we can say that it's all about the mechanism, how unhappiness happened to us. Because this is the most serious question in Buddhist teaching. We come to study and practice Buddhism because we would like to end all unsatisfactoriness, or headache, or fear, or worry. We would like to end them all permanently. So in order to end them, that is how we have to study the mechanism, what make this mechanism happen. So if I may use the whiteboard to put some photo. Every time we explain this kind of headache, the little baby cat headache, that is the right moment to study the mechanism of dependent origination, the mechanism that what makes us unhappy. So now we start to understand that what is dependent origination is all about what makes this baby cat headache. At the same time, we will know how to help the baby cat not to be headache, not to be stressed. So we say that more or less, I just throw you the big picture first. Why the cat is headache? Normally he will be playful. In the monastery we have one little cat. The baby cat headache. Because the baby cat produced the word ego. Before the cat came to the monastery, he never know that this is his monastery. But when we let him know that this is your monastery, he becomes Lion King. He claimed the whole monastery is under his management, his ruling. So he become the king of the monastery. So whenever we have problems in our life because of stress, worry, being upset, anger, fear, we can relate to one phenomena because of some element of birth of ego, and we use the word I, my, me, my seat, my position, my shoes, my handbags, my exam, my girlfriends, my boyfriend, I did this, I did that. So there's some element to this word of ego, or I and mine. That's how unhappiness happened to us. And then we look carefully again that ego, what makes egos happen? Because the baby cat never think is the Lion King before. Ego happens, the transformation of the mind. Before the cat think that he is Lion King, he's just a baby cat. But something trigger his consciousness to form up that misconcept. When we say that this is your kitchen, before we say this is your kitchen, we just, this is the kitchen of the monastery. So the word your kitchen trigger something inside his own consciousness. And that's how it slowly transforms. From a very calm, clear mind to become very cloudy mind. From very cute cat to be the Lion King. The problem is Lion King can't stop wombat and kangaroo who invade into kitchen every day and listen to nobody. That's how the cat realized that he's not in control. But he thought that he's still the Lion King. So when we look carefully with our practice of mindfulness, calmness of mind, we slowly investigate this mechanism, and how can this transformation of consciousness happen in that direction? So we can say that there are some elements. Attachment. Some attachment happens, and that attachment triggers the transformation of consciousness from a clear, peaceful one to be the cloudy one. So attachment in Pali language use the word upatan. Attachment to mind, attachment to I, attachment to position, try to be the owner, try to possess, try to have the direct authority, direct command. Why attachment happen? Our calmness of mind, our mindfulness that we just practiced in earlier, that is the reason why we practice meditation, why we talk about mindfulness, why we talk about calmness. Because mindfulness and calmness will help us to investigate one by one, step by step, like electron microscope, that you can see the chemical structure of molecules or atoms. So we need that mindfulness, calmness as samadhi to help this consciousness to detect domino effect, dependent origination. Because of this, that's happened. So our calmness, mindfulness should let us know that why attachment comes. So we can see attachment comes because of craving, tanha, upatan, like or dislike. So tanha, upatan, tanha, craving, the desire, like or dislike. As we say, craving have two directions. Crave to have, pull in. Crave to push. The reaction to get it out. So crave to have pull in as love, hatred. So the same energy, but going to two directions, come in or go out, which is the natural phenomena. Desire, want, or don't want. Calmness of mind should help us again to understand that. What trigger craving? Because sitting here in this room doesn't necessarily that we like something or we dislike something until feelings that turn on and off. Feelings connect to craving, tanha, like or dislike, love or hate, it follows feelings. Our mindfulness, calmness, in our practice of meditation, should be able to detect that in our calmness of mind, why we like it. Because there's some relaxed feeling. That's why we start to like this meditation. Why we like to do jogging in the morning? Why we like to do swimming? Why we like to go out for running or walking or gardening or singing or shopping or look into the Facebook? Why? Because there are some feelings there that kickstart craving, like, want or don't want. So thoughts, we begin here. Thoughts follow feelings. So our mindfulness and calmness of mind should let us focus and detect more that why feeling arises. Like sitting here, we have no feelings to go shopping. We don't need to buy a new pair of shoes until we see the new pair of shoes advertised on eBay, discount. Until we can see something that creates nice feeling, then we like it. So we can use our mindfulness, calmness of mind to detect contact is the origin or domino effect generates feelings. If we don't want to have any feelings, then we should stay away from contact. That is what the practice of sense restraint comes in. And that is a pub in Liverpool Street called the Wise Monkey.
Three wise monkeys.
If you don't want to have headache, don't look. If you don't want to be worried, don't listen. So that is how that stay away from contact. Don't have contact, then there's no feeling. And there's no feeling, there's no like, no dislike. So our mindfulness, calmness of mind, should help us to go much deeper that how can contact happen? Because we have this sixth sense door still functioning normally. Why the lecture room have to be here? Why we have to have a brick wall and small window? And all the seat face here. Why don't we have lecture in Dharma Talk next time, Friday night? Let's go in David Jones. Have you ever organized Dharma Talk Friday night, David Jones? Or has about Luna Park? Or some discotheque? Because you will never be able to look at me in David Jones. So we are aware that six sense door, eyes, ear, nose, tongue, skin, and the mind still functioning. And that is how it becomes the sense doors that information of the whole world flood into our mind. If we have no eyes, the color means nothing. We have no ears, the music means nothing. So, but because the whole world is still here and our six senses are still functioning, and that's how, even though we don't want to see, but the person just sit in front of us, we don't want to see, he still stand in front of us. We can help things happen. If we don't want to hear anything, someone is talking to us, correct? We don't want to hear anything, but the person keep on talking to us. That's how feeling keep on happening. That's why we start to feel not like, dislike, and attachment pushing away. So the Buddha uses mindfulness, calmness on that Visakha night to investigate in this specific term, because we still talking about headache and happiness. And we try to investigate what makes us unsatisfied or unhappy. So now, by now, we come halfway already. It comes because of our eye, ear, nose, tongue contacts with form, sound, smell, taste. contact in that way, in such a way that leading to have craving, attachment, and form ego, and then suffer. See, not contact in a way that inner peace, but the contact happen in a certain way that create unhappiness in the mind. So I like you to remember about this, that we talking about mechanism of how stress, how unhappiness come to us. So we talking about what trigger this whole mechanism point into that direction, because not all the time that we can see ugly thing and we stress. Sometimes we hear some ugly words, but we have no problem. Sometimes we smell something not so nice, but the mind not get that upset. Does it happen to you? See, why? Why sometimes we see that, hear, or smell, or touch some negative things, but the mind has no problem? See, this is another thing that we have to mention. But now we mention that something that make our mind really upset, very stressed, really angry. So now, look. The 16 doors that happen, because we say that it is the work of body and mind. Or they say nama rupang means that. Nama rupang means things that will happen by itself, like the object. For example, hear the bell of the sound. If I ring the bell, but people have no ears, we heard nothing. So hearing happened because of the sound, physically, and the mind or the consciousness. That's called nama rupa. Rupa means matter. Nama means the mind. So this is to explain how the six sense doors happen. Eyes must work with form. That's how seeing happens. If you have eyes but there is no form, seeing not happen. If you have form but no eye, seeing not happen too. So we must have a pair of to make contact. So nama rupa yes means that mind and matter, things must work together. That's how 16 doors going to work. But the most important thing that we like to focus is the nama means the mind. So let's see that the most important thing of this contact is the consciousness or the mind. But again, 2600 years ago, the Buddha already could see that permanent consciousness, permanent eye, permanent mind, permanent soul does not exist. So there is no journey of the soul, spirit, the mind, from past life, present life, future life. In these teachings, this theory is not agreed. So we try to focus the translation of the word consciousness into the consciousness that depends on these six sense doors. So in this Paticca-suppada, in this topic of dependent origination, that talking about unhappiness, stress, anxiety, when we use the word consciousness, it means eye consciousness, it means ear consciousness, nose, tongue, skin, and the mind consciousness. We don't talk about that permanent soul, that traveling all other places in different life forms. But we talk about functioning consciousness in this context. Okay, I'd like you to be clear. If you see consciousness in the other chapter, in the other book, that talking about the person, Mr. A, die, his consciousness born to be Mr. B, Mr. B die, consciousness born to be Mr. C, whatsoever, that is not in this topic. This topic, the word consciousness means here, eye consciousness, ear consciousness. For example, I keep a Dhamma talk like this. Some of us may open eyes and look at Pramana, and you talk, you keep on talking. Okay? So we call nobody home. I still looking, and I still standing, but the consciousness, eye consciousness, not here. That's why the person can't see anything. Even can't hear anything. Because the consciousness is not at the ears, so can't hear, can't see. The consciousness thinking about what going to do after the Dhamma talk finished. So now, it's make it so clear that different origination talk about the mechanism of how unhappiness happened and how to end unhappiness. So the word consciousness is not the consciousness that mentioned in the other part of Tripitaka, that born, die, traveling this life, that life. Okay, I'd like you to make clear in this explanation. So the next question is that when we're still alive, consciousness still functioning. But why the consciousness when we're still alive? Leading our body and mind, six sense door, to see things, feel things, and then have attachment and become stress. So we say that because of the word sankhara, that means mental energy. Mental energy is sankhara, or some word can translate, like the karmic energy, the karma, or even habits. The forming. So the picture as a pianist, in order to compose a music, he needs to put different notes, different tone, whatever, to make a music. So sankhara here means that you bring everything that necessarily come together. As we're talking about tom yam soup, one day when you go to winter retreat or workshop in Bananu, I will make you tom yam soup. First, I will serve you hot water because you talk about tom yam soup, correct? So first, like a Chinese restaurant, first course, correct? First course, please bring hot water. Second round, and to bring a lemon glass for you to chew. And third, I'm going to bring kaffir lime to you to chew. And then I'm going to bring chili. And then I'm going to bring coconut milk. And then I'm going to bring mushroom. And then please open your mouth. I'm going to put soy sauce into your mouth. So nobody enjoy tom yum soup anymore. You can't make tom yum soup like that. You have to put everything in together and make it happen. So this is explanation of the word sankhara. Mental energy that happens automatically, bring enough ingredients, bring enough necessary things to let consciousness work in the direction that create unhappiness. Yeah, understand that. So it becomes the energy that bring together body and mind. I must be clear, whatsoever in order to create problem in our own mind. So this mental energy normally is not create problems all the time, but because of ignorance, avijja, not understanding. So because of not understanding, like I told you that when I like to make tom yum soup in the beginning, I have no idea how to make tom yum soup. Put different things, different ingredients, too hot, too salty, whatsoever, because have no idea. But because people are hungry, people need to eat something, and I love to make people something to eat. And they all turn to be my guinea pigs. Now we can identify with our mindfulness and calmness of mind because of not understanding, ignorance. Whatever issue that we're dealing, we ignorance about it. But because we need to do it, we have to do it. So we bring in something that we think is necessary for our consciousness as operator, as a main chef. Use body, and mind, put all whatever ingredients in six sense or eye open in order not only to see, but to see with not really understanding. That means that whatever contact happened by seeing, feeling that arises, because you have no idea how feelings, what is the consequence of these feelings. That's how feelings kickstart craving. And because you have no idea about whatever we are dealing with, so the craving will give rise to attachment. And because we have no idea about what we are dealing, that's how consciousness transforms and give rise to ego, I and mine. And that is how we are in trouble of stress, anxious, depressed. So this is the whole structure of dependent origination, as the Buddha described, how unhappiness in life happened to us in great details. At the same time, this dependent origination is the detailed explanation of the word Four Noble Truths. In brief, the Buddha enlightenment people say Four Noble Truths. First, talking about dukkha, unhappiness, and the origin of unhappiness, sometimes talk only these two words, craving and attachment. And then talking about the end of unhappiness, called nirvana or inner peace, and how to overcome ignorance, how to overcome unhappiness, called the practice of Noble Eightfold Path, in order to transform the word ignorance to become wisdom. So the Noble Eightfold Path is just in brief explanation of dependent origination. Now there's something that I would like to mention, that dependent origination will not happen to us all the time. Dependent origination will, because we're talking about the mechanism how unhappiness happens. So unhappiness happens in practice is at the moment of contact. In practice, seeing and then get headache. Hearing someone gossip about us, get jealousy, don't like it. Smell something nice. Where did you buy that perfume? So we can see that problems in origination will start only at the moment of contact. If there's no contact, there's no stress yet. When there's no bad news, people still smile. When you turn on TV, people start to cry. Bad news. So we can see before people watch the news, people are so friendly, so relaxed. That's how we say dependent origination, the mechanism of unhappiness will never happen to us if we have no contact at all. But the worst thing is that the contact with ignorance will make unhappiness happen to us. But if the contact that have wisdom is go different direction, this is the difference. Seeing with ignorance, we create headache. Seeing with wisdom, there's no headache. We call inner peace. So this is something that I like you to be aware. Second, dependent origination, as we see, it is the highest level of we call specific language. In Buddhist teachings, there are two kinds of languages. I think that I mentioned about this before. First, we say everyday language, pramana, IV, for example, rena. So this is everyday language, ka, nihuang, for fine, Dr. Minter, for example. This is everyday language. So in the Buddhist teachings, a lot of Buddhist teachings, Buddha have to use every language we call the relative truth or the mundane truth. Pramana is a monk, a gentleman. Loina is a lady. This is called mundane truth or relative truth. Temporarily. But in reality, in ultimate truth, there's no monk, there's no man, there's no lady. It's just bone, muscles, organs that make the person like this. Before I have the name Pramana, I don't know what's my name. Mom just called me Pramana, Pramana, so everybody sees my name. But the cat in the monastery, first when he came, the people in the animal shelter give him the name. What is his name?
I'm not sure. I can't remember. Maybe Sam.
Sam or Samuel or something like that. But we don't like the name. So we told him, your name is Chokdi. Chokdi, 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 Chokdi. Talk to him every day. Now when you call Chokdi, so this is how he said that in Dhamma language, there are two languages. First, in the book, two languages. First, everyday language, just for the benefit of communication. But the second language, the highest level, we call Dhamma language, the ultimate truth, that will have no gender, no person, no I, no we, no they. Different incarnation is explained in this ultimate truth language. So you can't see the word I, me, by, they, he, or she. This is relative truth as she. This is relative truth as a gentleman, just for the benefit of communication. But absolutely, craving is not man, not woman. Correct? Now you have to bear in mind that there are two languages in the Tripitaka, in the Buddhist teachings as well as Christianity, Bibles and the spiritual teachings, the two kinds of languages. Every language just for us to understand, but ultimate language, ultimate truth, the Dhamma language is to explain the mechanism that you can see there is no I, no mind. It happens to both genders. It's not I want it to happen, it just happened like that. It's not me who want to have ignorance, but it happened. It's not me who like to have that feeling, it just happened because of contact. So mindfulness and calmness in our meditation should identify that it happens without the concept of I, my, and me. So this is what we say, anatta. No self. So it talk directly and it let people experience directly from the very beginning. Anatta, not self, beyond direct control. Why feel nice? Because of contact. Not because I want to feel nice. Not because of contact. Because I see your Instagram and you smile. Why you smile? Because I see something nice. So feeling nice and smile, please like it. Not because I am mine, but because of this domino effect, condition and pattern. So it let people study from the very beginning of study Buddhism that there's no I, no mind. We're talking about the pure natural mechanism. Second, dependent origination is the rediscovery of the Buddha, the heart of Buddhist teachings, which is very interesting. When you talk about the core of Buddhist teachings, you can't see the word happiness. Can you see where is the word happiness? No happiness at all. So dependent origination don't mention about the word happiness. Sorry if you came to the wrong room. Maybe the other room we talk about happiness. But this room, no happiness. Whenever whoever approached the Buddha, some monk asked the Buddha, please talk to me, I'll go to the heaven. I'll be happy there. Buddha said, I never talk about that. The monk said, okay, bye bye. The Buddha don't talk about happiness. He talking about how unhappiness happened and how to end it. So this is very specific. That Buddhist teachings dealing about problems individually as well as the global problems that happening now to everyone. Climate change, problem unhappiness. This is for Buddhist teachings to solve. So we are solving the global problems now, the climate change. But we don't talk about Disneyland, Universal Studios. It's not the expertise of Buddhist monks. So we expert and specific about that when problems and happiness of in life happens, how to solve it. Why? Because the word happiness, can you use this one? Because the word happiness come together with this word. Eternalism. Happiness and the word eternalism come together. As we said before, before the Buddha was born, 3000 BCE, 5000 years ago, Egyptians started to build the pyramid, dig the tombs, valet the kings, the queens in Luxor, because they are looking for perfect happiness, permanent soul, permanent spirit, permanent mind, traveling and be there. Every corner of the world, we talk about this, our permanent self, as we call eternalism, another extreme wrong view in Buddhist teachings. Wrong view, mitchatiti, that the person born and die until this spirit gone to some place. So the word happiness fit in very well, because we want to be immortal or eternal, because it's happy, correct? If it's not happy, we would. If the heaven is not happy, I think every angel rush down to University of New South Wales. So people think that heaven must be happy. That's why they like to be in heaven forever. So the happiness leading to that wrong view. And it's so common and so easy that people in the whole world, most people in the world will fall into this category of eternalism, including Buddhist people who don't understand divine generation. Make merits, do good, die, go to the heaven. Correct? Even some book depict Nirvana, paradise, beautiful modern heaven. And many other diamond jewelry, still looks beautiful forever. Eternalism. Again, come back into the misunderstanding of the concept permanent I, whereas liberating origination never mentioned about that. Second, middle way, this is what we're talking about. Middle way, when Buddhism not fall into eternalism as permanent I, permanent me, permanent mind. Some people may excuse that it is opposite to eternalism we call. And Kun Kim may hear me here. Annihilism. I don't know, have you heard about this one? Annihilism. Annihilism means finish. Yeah. There's no consequence. Do good, no consequence. Do bad, no consequence. Punch somebody, no consequence. It just thing happen and then finish. Never happen again. Some people have this wrong view from the time of the Buddha. Until now, many scientists go into that extreme. Enjoy yourself. You like to eat, eat. You like to drink, drink. You like to sleep, chopping, chopping. Because then you die, finish. There's no good karma. You can heal anybody, but there's no good thing come back to you. Beat somebody, no worry, there's nothing come back. So some scientists will fall into that category of another extreme misconcept, wrong view. So divine origination is not about that.
He's talking about because of I still good. That's why contact happened. Contact happened and feelings happened. If don't see that thing, contact never happen. So it don't talk about things finished completely. You see again, if the person show up again. So we're talking about things happens depends on conditions and factors.
So now Buddhist teaching is very clear characteristic of dependent origination will overcome the wrong view of two extreme views. Another characteristic is that dependent origination is moment by moment and happening like lightning strike, thunderclap speed. For example, any gentleman here who has no girlfriend yet? Anyone have no girlfriend yet? Many. Any ladies here have no boyfriend yet? Some girls from they can approach some lady and say that you look so beautiful. Observe the reaction. The lady face may turn pink immediately, jaw drop immediately, or her handbook drop on the ground immediately. That means dependent origination happened already. In that thunderclap speed. That quick. Because of already something happened. What does he mean? What do we want? What does he want? Why he said like that? It happened that quick. So as soon as ears contact with that sound, it happens so quick. Or sometimes you're driving or just walking after university finish and the rain, the storm, thunderclap, people get shocked like this. Dependent origination finish one circle. Sometimes your good friends go together, dinner, and then your friends say the wrong word. 100 words good, but 99 words good, one word not good. Get angry immediately. So that's how dependent origination happens in that speed. Thunderclap and explosive. You can feel it immediately. So anxiety, stress, depression, fear, worry can happen to us so quick. As we said, we're sitting here, we have a good time, smile. When you check your Facebook, bad news. Immediately the reaction happens. So that is how it's so scary. Of humanity, dependent origination is so scary because it happened in that thunderclap speed, so fast, and you can experience straight away. Whereas hell, after death, underground, no worry, sorry, we don't know what is going to be. But here, fear, stress, and tears, nowadays, is so big problems. Another thing is that it not happen all the time. It's just moment by moment. Like thunder, like the storm, lightning strike, you get chopped immediately, finish. It happened once, finish. That boy said that you look beautiful, happened once, finish. It happened moment by moment. It depends on the content. So this shows there's no eternality about it. It's not forever. It's just purely natural mechanism. Another thing of dependent origination is to clarify the word merits, demerits, good karma or bad karma. Dependent origination, there's no good karma, no bad karma. It's just karma. It means actions. It's just actions and reactions. It's not good action, good reaction. It's not bad action. A bad reaction. It is just action and reaction. It's just action, reaction, leading to unhappiness, or action, reaction, leading to the end of unhappiness. So there's no good and no bad in this level of Dhamma practice. And next one is that dependent origination, again, it's for
practical purpose. It's not for philosophical debate. So whatever happened in this liberation nation, we need to experience by our kindness of mind. So we really need to produce the enough mindfulness calmness in order to help the mind to observe how unhappiness happened. And then by at the same time we know how to end it. So this is what the characteristics of dependent origination. Second, if we ask that why we need to study dependent origination, because without understand this mechanism of how unhappiness happens, we will fall into the wrong view or wrong idea. So this is a problem that happens. When Tat emailed me that let me talk about dependent origination, following in one of the Tripitaka called Mahanikana Sutta. Did you get his email? You know what topic I'm going to talk? Yeah, some yes, some no. Yeah, he told me specifically that please to explain in that textbook. And now this is the problem, because in Tripitaka, Buddhist teachings, there are many places where the Buddha talk about dependent origination. So there are many textbooks mentioned about the same topics, but in some books we elaborate dependent origination into the everyday language, and that starts the problem. When we talk about everyday language, it means that they put the word I, me, and mine into this explanation. For example, they say that why now we have defilements, why now we have ignorance, because of past life. These two words, ignorance and sankhara, the energy that transformed consciousness, came from the past life, our own defilements, greed, hatred, and delusion. So when we were born, we born with this ignorance and defilements. And that make this present life, our consciousness, body, mind, six sense door, contact, feelings that happen in the present life, that we kickstart the word craving, tanha, upatan, attachment. So whatever we doing now, in order, whatever we do, good or no good, it will affect in the word chati, next life. Do good now, next life you'll be better. You heard about that, correct? In Thailand, we say you're poor this lifetime because your last life you did not make enough donation. So make more donation now, but not this life. Next life you'll be rich. And this philosophy, this idea, really corrupt Indian mind. In India, we have a few months ago, we have one engineer from India visit the last week and talk about the space program of Indian Air Force, whatsoever, so advanced. But the engineer told me there's a shame, one thing, that we India still have problem with poverty. Many people so poor in India. So we did not continue. We just said goodbye. But we know that why many people are so poor, because of caste system still solid, concrete, fixed in the mind. That means if you're born as a Brahmin, you're always Brahmin, the priest, high class. If you're born in a warrior class, you're always a ruling class. If you're born as a merchant, you can be merchant, laborer. If you're born a jantan, untouchable, you can't do anything. You can't change anything. So people concrete, fix their ideas. They can't change the caste system. So that's how people give up effort to change. Until Dr. Embeka in India is the one who said that, in that case, I not follow Hinduism. I'm going to be Buddhist. Because Buddhism has no caste system. So he changed religion not because of, sorry to say, I still doubt, because of wisdom or political issues.
Nowadays, every year in India, there are many people will convert to be Buddhists. But in question, are they truly study Buddhists or cultural and political demand? So this is one thing in question mark. But one thing is very clear that when people throw away their efforts to practice in order to change themselves, that's how they build the concrete and suffer accordingly. So dividend regeneration in this way, talking about we can break free because it happened moment by moment. It's not fixed all the time to be like this. So the whatever we say that we do good or do bad now, next life you get it. Because of avijja ignorance, craving came. Avijja ignorance came from the past life. You can't do anything about it. Whatever you can do, just try to do whatever now. And next life you will be born, no avijja, no ignorance. So this kind of explanation is really fundamental in all Buddhist countries. So this is what we say, that the misunderstanding of dependent origination. So nowadays many textbooks we talk about that, and that create the problems, because if we follow that kind of explanation, we can't find in of unhappiness right here and now. And that is contradict to what we did saying. Santitiko, to be seen here and now. You can't see end of unhappiness here and now. You have to wait until future life. Do good now, next life to be happy. This is contradict to what we do chanting, correct? So let's just focus more that Buddhist teachings emphasize on the very present moment of the mind. How we can stop this mechanism of unhappiness, and how we can find that inner peace right here and right now. So if we can clear this misunderstanding, it gives us so much confidence and ability that we can enjoy our life in the very, very present moment. So we call it as Nirvana or inner peace. So dependation is what we say the most important subject of Buddhist teachings. The next question comes up, how are we going to practice dependent origination? And this is what the word Noble Eightfold Path fall in. The practice of right understanding, right thought, right speech, right action, right lifestyle, right effort, right mindfulness, right concentration. That is Noble Eightfold Path that we practice in order to overcome ignorance. It focuses on the word right understanding. Ignorance because we don't know. Don't know of what? Not know that things subject to change. Not know that things change all the time because unstable. Not know that things like this beyond direct control. Or not know that things happen momentarily, depends on condition and factors. Because we don't know, that's why we put our own instinct of survival, that I, me, and mine. So the word ignorance is very specific, that we have no realization that things impermanent, unstable, and not self. Because we have no realization about that, that's how the energy of the mind transforms to be a dark energy. The dark energy that will change this consciousness, instead of looking just for looking, it's looking for problem now. Hearing just hearing, no, it's just hearing for problem. Smelling just for smelling, no, smelling for problems. Eating food just not for eating, it's just eating for more problem. Touching just not touching, it's touching for more problem. Planning is just not planning for more problems, because of this energy of ignorance that transforms the whole mechanism into unhappiness. So practice of Noble Eightfold Path, that we do it. Right understanding in ultimate truth is to understand dividend origination. Our mindfulness, we said that absolute, in the absolute practice,
mindfulness has to be monitored, have to be practiced, because the critical moment is the moment of contact. So we say that when people have more mindfulness, people have less headache. Correct? If you have more mindfulness, you can go to shopping and spend less money. Lack of mindfulness, all money gone. So do we have time for question? Anyone like to ask any question? Yes.
Pramana mentioned about craving as to crave to have, crave to pull and crave to push. And in the case of the crave to push, say that I don't really like something, how does that actually lead to attachment? Like doesn't, like when you crave less, doesn't it mean that you don't attach to that stuff?
Correct. Because dislike and craving and attachment come together, really close together. In English, we say that I, for example, my tea should not be there. I like my tea. Why you drink my tea? English say that I like the tea. I like the tea. In reality, like happen first before I. Contact. Feeling. Nice, like happen. I who know the taste. I. Why you take my tea away? Why you drink all my tea? You can see that how craving and attachment come together. When it's so nice, attachment claim that the one who know it is you. You are the one who know the taste. That is your tea. You are the one who feel good. You are the one who tastes the tea. Your tongue, your mouth, your hand get that cup of tea, and your consciousness who know the taste of the tea without knowing that it is not your tea. It's just tea. It's just hot water and tea. So without this proper understanding, that's how we create attachment and the mind transform to be ego. And ready to experience the consequence of unhappiness. So in the same manner, if someone take away this really nice tea, so happy feeling is going to be less. That's how attachment want happiness to come back. So I'm going to push you in order to keep my tea. So the same energy that go in the reverse way. But with right understanding that it's just tea, it's just the tongue coming into contact with the tea, it's just feeling that's on and off all the time. With this realization, we don't need to have craving. It's just a good tea. Because understand that if I don't sip the tea, never feel good. But because sipping of the tea, that's why good feeling arises. So we are aware of this domino effect and aware enough that the tea is impermanent, tongue is impermanent, consciousness is so impermanent, body and mind so impermanent, even ignorance is impermanent too. So this is what we say, that deep origination is not here all the time, it's on off. Whenever unhappiness happens, it is here. So whenever put mindfulness awareness, it's not happen. Like last month, it's so wet, heavy rain. Some people may complain, too wet. But in February, too hot. Correct. In February, we just look, ask, begging for rain. In Padanoon, there's no drop of rain at all. All the gardens dying, beg for rain. Maybe we bake too much, heavy rain. And then we bake the rain, please stop.
So we can say that deeper origination is not happen all the time. It's on and off. Heavy rain, wet, but we don't complain because there's no deeper origination. Really hot and dry, not complain because there's no deeper origination. Yes.
Why every time when I try to ask a question, I feel so excited. Sorry. Try to calm myself down first. That picture there, the birth of eagle, master. I imagine if that cat there is actually a boy cat, there must be a female cat somewhere near him, and that female cat is trying to, you know, beg him to like her. And that's why he looked at the mirror. He saw the lion. But instead, if that boy cat is actually trying to pursue, chase a girl that he loves so much, and he will see in the mirror a little mouse. So is it really the problem of the birth of ego instead of the mirror? Mm. You understand where I'm coming from?
The mirror is a problem?
Yeah. If he is chased by the girl that loves him so much, he, forgive my language, he don't give a damn. So he see the mirror and say, I'm a lion, you're not good enough for me. But if he is chasing the girl that he loves so much, the girl don't give a damn about him, he will see the mouse in the mirror. So would that be the problem of the mirror as well?
So you need to go shopping for a new mirror.
Isn't supposed to be something lovable, but isn't that a fact? Haven't you in your life ever chased someone that you love so much but don't give a damn to you? Haven't you been chased by someone that you don't really? I mean, is that right? See, I get excited again. I don't know why every time I ask a question I get excited. Something wrong with me. So, what is exactly is the... Can we really isolate the cat with the mirror and see the lion that is an eagle, or the, maybe, you know, in the circuits or somewhere where they have a special kind of mirror, you actually see your face longer, your fatter, you know? Isn't there a problem with mirror as well, Master?
Thank you. This is just the example to show that how the word childhood birth of ego happened. Because normally, ego not happen to us all the time. It just happened because of ignorance. So this is a sample to show that from a very gentle person, become a monster person. From a very kind person, become barely jealous person. Why it happened like that? So we call because of ego is there. Because of transformation. Because of attachment. That's why a nice person can turn to be a really monster person. So this is just to show how the simple little person like this transform to have that big ego, big selfishness, self-centered.
Thanks.
Yeah. Yes, any question?
No?
Yes?
I want to just one more question. It was on the mental energy. I'm going to talk about karmic energy. How would Pramana explain it to you?
This word itself is quite what do you call, difficult to comprehend. In the Pali text may say that sankhara means the energy that form we call verbal actions, the energy that form physical action, the energy that form the mental actions. So when we say, for example, someone love to curse. People love to curse accidentally without being mindful. If the pen drop, someone may curse whatsoever. So we can hear maybe 10 times curse in this room. So why we curse that? It depends on the consciousness of the person. It depends on how often the person use that word. If you use every day, so it becomes so easy. So easy the person, we pick up the word and say it. Correct? So this is why we say it's a karma as an action, as a habit. That what you will keep on doing. Like we said that if we go if you stay in your apartment for many years and someday we got black out, you think that are you able to find your own bed in your apartment? Yes, because we get used to it. We get used to it so easy we don't even need to think, you turn right a few steps and turn left, get to the right room, not the wrong room. That is how that mental energy is all about, whatever we keep on doing repeatedly. And that's why they make a kind of musician composer of the music. It brings enough ingredients to make the problem. All this memory come in, all the energy of the mind.
Mentioned in Thailand, the poor people think the reason they're poor is something they've done in a previous life. Do you think the monk in Thailand encourages that view? And, do you believe that?
Okay, good. Thank you. I think this the monks in Thailand will, if they understand correctly, they have to use two languages. First language is as mundane truth, or because maybe not complain too much. Do not just say the unfair in the world and blaming, and don't go to rob somebody. Don't join the gangster. You don't need to go to what they call suicide bomber, whatsoever. If it's just your previous life that you did not do good enough, so just accept it, but try to do good now. This is mundane language. But in absolute, ultimate truth, say that, so, are you suffering or not suffering? You upset or you alright? Don't have enough money? Are you happy with yourself? You have a lot of desire, a lot of expectation, or just be satisfied? Because not all the poor people suffer. Not all poor people suffer. Surprisingly, nowadays we had a fashion word called slow life. Have you heard? Slow life? Slow paced life? Yeah. Have you heard about that? Slow lifestyle? People nowadays promote do things slow. Because in the city lifestyle we rush and stress. In the countryside, look, the farmer wake in the morning, walk step by step. They bucket the water and fresh, regarding pick up the rubbish. Slow life now is a trendy word in Thailand. I mean, more city people do things slower because you think too fast, too quick, so stressful. When you are so wealthy, we love to stay far away from the city. Why Bondi Beach and whatever waterfront condominium? Why people all go nearby the water and just waiting for tsunami? Why people buy, build a big house right next to the national park and waiting for the tiger? Because people like to be very far removed and more simple, quiet. It shows that poverty, in some sense, because simplicity of life does not mean unhappiness all the time. So this is what ultimate language that the monks should talk.
So the monk helps the people accept what they've got.
They should accept, but they should not surrender.
Okay.
Effort to maintain inner peace. The king of Thailand who passed away promote the word Sethikit Phopiang, what you call self-efficiency economy. Means that grow your own vegetable in the backyard. Less shopping, save money, don't have debt. He promote that word, don't have debt. Better if you don't have that beautiful car, not to be worried. He promote that word.
The king said that?
Yeah, he did himself a lot of projects. A lot. But people don't follow him, that's why Thailand have headache. Thailand have a lot of debt. I just came back from Bangkok a month ago. Oh, high-rise building. Much more than in Sydney City. But how many people in Bangkok smile? I myself have to walk and stay away. People don't give the way to the monks anymore. Not many Bangkok people smile. Stress. We fall into materialism. We fall into this unhappiness because we want more, because we don't know where to discover the end of suffering. Yes, Rowena, your question?
So even if we intellectually know the 12 links of dependent origination, how do you stop the headaches and the anxiety? So if like there's a shock and then we feel anxiety, how do you stop being
I think that we need to practice more mindfulness every day. We need to maintain our practice of mindfulness, if possible, more often. And that helps the mind to gain that inner strength. In different generations, the Buddha explained in many forms. Some sutta, he explained from the beginning. Some place, he explained reverse. And some place say that you can stop unhappiness when you have come into craving and stop craving. So there are many places that we can break this different origination, if not absolute realization of impermanence, unstable and not self, that absolutely clear from the very beginning. But if we didn't have that wisdom realization, sometimes we hear ourselves. If we see something and get stressed, don't look at it. If we see already and feel nice already, don't like it. Don't like it. We have to put a pep talk. Talk to ourselves, oh, it looks good, individual, it's so beautiful. But. But if you already like it, oh, I want to go, okay. Lorena, tomorrow come with me, David Jones, okay, I like to buy that thing. And Lorena say, no, Ramana, you don't need it. No, but it's so beautiful, look at it. Lorena say, no, you should not go, you know, traffic jam, and heavy rain, flood, whatever, and the strike, no bus, no train, try to discourage me, whatsoever. Or say, no, I'm not free, Ramana, you go alone. No, I can't go alone. You come with me. No, I might go with you, I'm being busy. But I crave it already. So, you stop here. So, that different approach, since we understand the mechanism how unhappiness happens, can start right in the beginning, try to be more mindful, try to understand anicca, dukkha, anatta, realize it, so it stops the whole process. Or otherwise, try not to look, not to hear, not to see, not to think about it. Or if you feel nice, feel already, then bring more understanding. Yes, it's impermanent, it can change. But if you like it already, then maybe you have to change situation. Get the new friends, whatsoever, go spot. Like some people have cigarette, crave for cigarette. You use something else to distract the mind. You still crave for it, but you forgot about it. So there's some many different ways that we can heal to stop unhappiness if we understand how it works. Yes?
So would Lung Po say that the complete change from ignorance to wisdom would lead to a complete cessation of craving? In a sense?
Yes. The end of craving, the end of attention. It doesn't mean that we don't like anything anymore. It doesn't mean that we don't dislike anything anymore. Now, this is about unhappiness. This is about stress, anxiety, unhappiness in our mind. But in another circle, if with wisdom, contact, it's so natural. Cold, banana this morning cold, put thicker jumper. Come to Sydney, hot, I have to remove it out before I come talk and the car, I have to put it in. So it changes constantly. It doesn't mean that we have to suffer. Feelings like this, like still happen naturally, but it does not necessarily leading to attachment and feel so strange. Yes.
How do you enjoy, what's the best way to enjoy something but not
be
attached to it?
This is how the work of dependent origination, by understanding things that happen as domino effect. There's no I, no mind, no ownership. Is it pure natural mechanism until we can't claim? It is me who see, it just seeing. It is me who feel, it just feeling. and it not last forever. It's momentary. Like someone make, if some lady make you feel nice, talk nice to you, talk sweet to you, and you're so happy, and you tell her, tomorrow can you make it again? So I can feel happy again. So it never, it can be happy only today. Tomorrow she may not say nice word to you anymore. So you know, okay, it just happened momentarily. Don't expect for tomorrow. Tomorrow she may scold you. Who knows? So this is how Divine Generation let us know that things happen only in short moment. So we should not expect more. It depends. That is what we say, it depends. Today you say you love me forever. Tomorrow you will love me forever again. And your girlfriend will say, it depends. That is really Patichasubhata answer. It depends on condition and factor. That's how it prepares us to enjoy things but no expectation. So this is what we call inner peace. If you, because there's so many websites that talking about this, so I try to put that little book that Tusk has in his hand. We call the Dependent Origination in Practical. So we try to put into the, our monastery website, easy for you to search, because there's so details that we can't discuss in 1 hour. So the monastery website of Dharma Teachings, Dependent Origination, we have the whole book by Jan Buddhadasa in PDF that easier for you to print out or to read it in more details. Any questions?
If there's any more questions, I'll wrap up the talk. Okay, cool. So thank you so much, Ramana, for expounding the Dharma talk today. I feel a little bit enlightened, and I hope everyone else does too. So I'll be introducing next week's activity. So this week, we have English Dharma talk on the topic of the six paramita, or the six perfections of Mahayana Buddhism. And that's going to be given by Venerable Dengrong. Same time, same place here, 7 to 9 p.m. every Friday. And the contact details on the board. Next week, we'll also have Chinese Dharma talk on the topic of what is the significance of Buddhist etiquette and services. And that's going to be by the same Venerable, by Venerable Dengrong. And that's going to be on every Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. at the Square House 207. And you can contact CC here. She is the Chinese Dharma talk coordinator, and her contact details are also on the board. We also have a weekly meditation session on every Tuesday, 12 to 1 p.m., actually Tuesday and Wednesday, at Unibus Library Square House. So if you don't know where that is, you can follow us around. We will go there after this talk finished. And you can contact Rico at the back. Yep, Rico is our meditation coordinator. And on the same topic, we have our meditation workshop coming up. So Rico, please come up here to talk about the workshop.
Hi guys, my name is Rico. So tomorrow we will be having our first meditation workshop of the year. So it will start at 10 to 1. So it's a 3-hour meditation workshop. So by that, I didn't mean that we will be meditating for 3 hours straight. So there will be discussion, and then short break in between, and then a guided meditation for you guys. So the place will be on low building. So it's in the second floor of this building. The topic we'll cover about breathing meditation. So our speaker will be Rodley. So maybe I'll speak a brief profile about him. So Rodley is the director of the Tibetan Buddhist Society. He has been practicing Buddhism since 1978 and has been teaching Buddhism for over 20 years. So he was a disciple of Venerable Gyatso Rinzen. He has a company called Working Balance, which teaches meditation and mindfulness to business people. So yes, the workshop is free. So if it's of interest to you, you can just text me. So here's my number, or you can just email me to reserve. So, any question from you guys? No? Okay.
And if you remember, Rod Lee was our second speaker for Dharma Talk this year, so some of you might remember him. And we also have a weekly sports session of basketball, and it's going to be on every Sunday. The sport changes every week, but it's the sports on every Sunday. And it's at Moore Park. I forgot the time. I would like to ask Marco. Marco?
The time is 10 to 12, and we have it in Moore Park.
Yeah. So please bring your Oppo card, because you have to go there by bus. And his contact details on the board, and that's Marco over there. We also have a Buddhist exhibition coming up. Yay! So Buddhist exhibition is basically an event which happens every 3 years where we bring a lot of artifacts together and we'll be basically giving you guys a tour on what these artifacts are all about. And this year's theme, we will be talking about uncovering the light of Buddhism. So I'll invite Joshua to come up. Please come. Our marketing officer.
No, he's dead. So, hey guys, I'm Joshua, the marketing head for Buddhist Exhibition 2017. So, Buddhist Exhibition is a 1 week student run event where we organized by UMass, where we will be showcasing various Buddhist artifacts and artworks on campus. So, this year's Buddhist Exhibition. The title for this year's Buddhist exhibition is going to be Uncovering the Light of Buddhism, and which the theme for this year's Buddhist exhibition revolves around the symbolic meaning of various Buddhist artifacts and how it changed with time and adapted to culture from what it is today. So, Buddhist exhibition 2017 is going to be from the 23rd of April until the 27th of April, from 9:30 to 4 p.m. 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. At Leighton Hall, somewhere there. John Lee website, they are meeting in SMU. So, yeah. And it's free. Yeah. Oh, by the way, so if you have any questions at all, if you're interested, or if you just want to help us out, I would like all the ex-schools to raise their hands so that... So yeah, these are the people you're in contact, and... Yeah, that's about it. Thank you. Okay, so we'll also be having our next event, Songkran. Songkran's a Thai New Year festival, which is celebrated every year, and I'd like to invite Tommy. Thank you for coming.
Hi guys, I'm Tommy. So just want to inform you that next week there will be no sports, but instead we'll be having Songkran festival. It is hosted by Wat Pa Budarangsi at Lumia. So that's usually we'll have a trip down to Wat Pa every year for this event. So we usually have various activities such as chanting, short sermon, fundraising for Food for Thai, Southeast Asian tradition dances, and the small events on that day as well. But other than just enjoying on that day, Univars usually help them out by volunteering in packing and some other stuff, which if the temple requires help in, such as statue carrying, I believe. That's what we would actually help out on that day. So the time we'll be meeting is at 6:45 in the morning in front of UNSW main walkway, and we'll be catching a bus at 7. And for those who find it inconvenient to come to uni and then getting back to Central, you can just meet us up at Central, but the time will be updated to you soon. And we're planning to head back by 4:30. Well, I know it's a long day, but I know everyone needs a study break, right? So just come along and have fun and maybe help up a bit. Thank you. Oh, sorry. Just to remind you that if you're coming, please do RSVP with me. You can contact me through my number or email it to that email address. And you'll need to bring an Apple card, water bottle. Please wear appropriate clothing. And yeah, enjoy.
What is appropriate clothing?
Alright, so anything that doesn't reveal your knee, anything, so you have to be anything longer than your knees and doesn't show your shoulder. Yeah. Thank you.
Did I miss any events? I think because a lot of is happening next this week. Okay, nothing? Cool. So now I'd like everyone to pay respect to the contributor.
Please pay respect to Pramana.